Call is now being recorded.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Wizards Windup. We've been absent for a couple of games, a couple of days now. Just simply, you know, Josh has been traveling the country doing what he does, covering his teams. Also, you know, he had a chance to cover a few Wizards games. But, you know, we are back. We will have you covered. For, you know, as much as we can, like we said in the first episode, we're gonna try to kind of cover all 82 games, within this podcast. But picking up from, you know, kind of where we left off, or, you know, from last night, I'll say that. The Wizards lose a game to the Houston Rockets at Verizon Center to bring their record to 1-5. They lost 114-106. Some headlines from that one. James Harden is doing what James Harden does, 32 points, 15 assists. Ryan Anderson with a big game, finishing with 23 points, 5 of 8 shooting from behind the arc. For the Wizards, three players in with 20 points or more. You have John Wall finishing with 21 points, 8 assists, 5 rebounds. You had Otto Porter with 20 points, 8 rebounds. And then you had Bradley Beal finishing with 20 points, shooting, you know, 8 for 18 from the field. Not very impressive. But throughout the night, you know, John Wall did break Wes Unseld's franchise assist record. So he is now the number one guy for that. You know, there were some positives in this game, Josh, even though they did come up on the losing end. Just kind of, you know, so let's start from the beginning, I guess, of the game and, you know, make our way through it. What were your takeaways, from when you were watching the game? What did you get from it?
One of the things that I liked is that they really had a big third quarter. They closed out that third quarter, if I'm not mistaken, with 30-plus points. With that being said, they were only down by one going into the fourth. So, you know, despite the fact that the Rockets, had, I think, over 17 three-pointers when the game was over with, despite the fact that the Rockets were pretty much unstoppable from behind the three, despite the fact that James Harden had, like, 32 points, the Wizards stayed around. Excuse me, I'm a little under weather, everybody. But the Wizards, they stayed around. What it just seems as though in the fourth quarter, sometimes this team, two things happen. They just have these defensive mishaps or slip ups or whatever you would like to call it, and then they go on in an offensive drought, and that's a recipe for disaster. And you find yourself, you have the Rockets going on a 14-4, run in the fourth quarter. And nothing you can do about it at that point. The momentum is gone. You know, people starting to become unraveled. You know, John Wall, you know, ends up with his second technical, which a lot of people are saying that was kind of, you know, a suspect type, you know, technical. Was it really that serious, you know, given, you know, the severity of the, you know, him having a second technical, which would, you know, subsequently he got ejected for. It's something that Brooks is definitely going to have to kind of work on, because you can't really blame the second unit for this one. You know, you can't say, oh, well, when the second unit got in, that's when everything went out of control. You know, when you look at the minute disparity versus the first unit and the second unit, you definitely can't blame the second unit on this one. So, as you mentioned, the positives, you know, congrats to John Wall for now holding that record, as you just mentioned, having the most assists in the franchise history. It's nice to see a few starters with 20-plus points. But the question now boils down to how do you, you know, turn this into actual wins? And that's something that Scott Brooks just kind of mentioned not too long ago after practice. I was looking at some of the quotes that he said, and one of the things that that he said was that he's been on teams where they were 1-5 and had no hope and were getting blown out. But he said that's not the case here in Washington. And he got a point. It's not like when you're watching these Wizards games, you know, by halftime the Wizards are down by 20 and this game is just out of control. Like, if you're watching these games, you can see going into the fourth quarter, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the Wizards actually took the lead after a pair of free throws. You know, so they were maybe up by a point or two. And it's just like after that, they just become unraveled. And then, you know, you have a turnover here, you have a missed closeout there. Next thing you know, the Rockets hit a three here, they hit a three there, boom. What can you do, right? And then it's just like the second unit, you can't really trust them to come in to, you know, either guard the lead or keep the lead going. So it's just like, I think Scotty Brooks got his, he got his work cut out for him, because one thing that we mentioned in the first podcast is the level of competition that the schedule entails for the first few weeks of the opening of the NBA season. And they have Boston tomorrow, you know, here in D.C. They have the returning champions on Friday here in D.C. Then they come out to Chicago and they play the Bulls. So, if they can't stop giving up 30 points every fourth quarter, if they can't stop allowing, this is the second team that had 13 or more three-pointers on them, Memphis and then now Houston. You know, if they can't stop the bleeding in the fourth quarter in particular, and with that Memphis game, that was overtime, if they can't stop the bleeding ahead of time, I don't see how they're going to beat the next three teams that they have. And, you know, you look at these opponents that they have coming up, Boston, Cleveland, you know what Cleveland is capable of. You've been paying attention to the Bulls. Dwayne Wade is shooting threes as if he's Steph Curry now. You know, you look at these next three opponents, I mean, they could easily go 1-8 by the end of the week. And that's, you know, that's definitely not what Brooks, you know, want. And like he said, as you mentioned, I did get a chance to cover a couple of those Wizards games. And one thing he said, that this was back when they were 1-3, and he was just like, this is the start that we have. This is not the start that we want. And Bradley Beal mentioned about everybody staying together and not, you know, let egos get in the way. You know, when you're losing, it's hard not to. You know, when you're somebody like John Wall, you can say, okay, I did my part. You know, where's Trey Burke? You know, where's Kelly Oubre? You know, you start pointing out guys, you know, and Bradley Beal did a little of that in Orlando. He basically called out the entire second unit. Like, you know, we need guys that's going to step up. Where are these guys? Before, you know, before the middle of November, you're already seeing that this rotation is starting to go a different direction. You know, this last night, Trey Burke only played 6 minutes, right? You know, but he was kind of looked at, this was supposed to be his second chance. So, I know I brought up a lot of different points there, but it just kind of goes back to saying, you know, you're 1-5 and you have three strong competitors, two of them at home in Cleveland, Chicago, kind of back to back. You know, it's not looking good for the Wizards. I'll just say that.
No, and like you said, you covered a lot of ground there, so I'm going to try to catch up and kind of address everything you said. You know, with last night's game, I actually didn't feel like they lost in the fourth. I feel like where they lost it was the second quarter. And it was because, you know, at the beginning of the second quarter, now he only played him for about three and a half, four minutes. It was the bench unit, was in to start that quarter. They ended up getting outscored 33-17. Now that is what we have seen them do in the fourth quarters in past mm-hmm. games. So, you know, I can relate to you in that they always have a problem with one quarter that just, you know, puts them in a hole and they got to climb out of it. Now, they did climb out of it in the third. Like you said, they came out at halftime very strong. They outscored the Rockets 36-28 in that quarter. They were shooting the ball well. You know, everything was going down. But let me just throw some numbers at you in terms of, you know, so the second quarter and fourth quarter were putrid. I mean, you already mentioned that. Second quarter, they shot 6-for-24 from the field. And then in the fourth quarter, they shot 7-for-21. And this is compared to the fourth quarter. This is compared to Houston's, you know, 10-for-17 and five of those 10 makes for threes. So obviously that's enough to pull them away. You know, and in terms of not blaming the bench, I would agree with you somewhat there, but they did play better. But at the same time, they're the reason why the Wizards are losing these games. I mean, for the life of me, I don't understand why Marcus Thornton is the number one guy in terms of minutes off the bench, averaging 17 minutes off the bench last night. Finishes with 8 points. You look at the box score and say, oh, that's okay. Then you scoot over to the field goal attempts. He goes 2-for-10, 2-for-7 from three. He's just taking so many unnecessary shots that are out of the flow of the offense that nothing can get formed. I mean, you have Jason Smith. He did a little bit better last night. He didn't really make any noise, but I guess he didn't screw up as much as he does. He finished with 4 points, you know, in 11 minutes. He still had two turnovers. But, you know, in terms of the bench guys, one thing that I was happy to see was Kelly Oubre. We didn't see him featured in the prior two games. Last night he was in there a lot. Well, you know, finished with 14 minutes, which is a lot compared to what he's played. Finished with 10 points. I think he did a good job just, you know, being a presence defensively. Now, when I say that, just taking care of his job, not like he's dominating that side of the floor. And then you have Tomas Satoransky, you know, finished with 2 points, two assists in 13 minutes. Not anything that's, okay, to be honest, is going to get you a win, but he just makes all the right plays. And he's making more of them as we go along. So those are the bright spots. Like I said, Thornton and Smith are just a dark cloud over this team. I truly believe that. And then, you know, another guy that you got to go to from last night, which we haven't really went to this year, is Markieff Morris. You know, he finishes 3 for 14. He missed his first 9 shots. Going back to the game before, you know, if you take those numbers, he missed his last 17 shots. He finishes 3 for 14, 7 points. And the thing that makes me scratch my head about Keith, you know, he goes up against Millsap. I tweeted this out earlier, but he goes up against Millsap in a stacked Orlando front court, and he's averaging, you know, over 19 points a game. And then he goes against, you know, Memphis, who has Zach Randolph off the bench, but for the most part, they're starting Jermichael Green. Houston, who has Ryan Anderson, who I thought that's a mismatch right away. And then I'm blanking on the last team, but whoever it was, you know, he's averaging 8 points against them. And so it's, I don't know if it's, he knows that when he's playing, you know, an all-star caliber type of power forward, he brings it a little bit more, but he needs to take advantage of these mismatches. I mean, we're lucky to get, you know, 20 out of Otto Porter. And, you know, a lot of that is due to his aggressiveness in the offensive glass. I mean, he had 3 last night, but he's doing so much better just being active, on, you know, in that department and rebounding as a whole, that's helping them a lot. You mentioned hope. You mentioned that this team has hope, and that's something that I'm questioning. Because there's certain teams that get off to slow starts. Pelicans, for instance. You know, you people are saying, you know, a lot of people are jumping off them and just saying they're going to be horrific. Here's hope for the Pelicans. You have Jrue Holiday that's set back to return. You have Tyreke Evans coming back. You know, you get rid of Lance Stephenson after he gets injured. You pick up Archie Goodwin, a guy who can maybe come in and give you some offensive spark. But that's hope. For the Wizards, they are what they are. And now they need to figure it out. And I know you've been watching the past couple of games. Of course, I have too. Scott Brooks has adjusted this rotation so much. He's trying everything he can to get out of it. You know, at first he was just sending in 5 guys from the bench. Then, you know, he went away from that. Now he's filling it. He's throwing in Trey Burke. And then he's throwing in Satoransky. Then he's throwing in, and they're mixing and matching with the starters. And yeah, that was much better than his first attempt at just doing a full bench lineup. But at the same time, he doesn't have the slack to let these guys on the floor for 3 minutes. 3 minutes. And they're either blowing a lead or they're making a deficit, you know, unattainable. They're making, you know, so there's a lot of things going on with this team. You know, what I wanted to touch on when you said hope, for this team, I don't see a lot of hope. Now, you know, they play the Celtics tomorrow, as you mentioned. A big thing for the Wizards. Jay Crowder and Al Horford will not play. So, you know, that's big for them. But I mean, you know, they go against the Houston Rockets, you know, that's going to be arguably one of the worst defensive teams in the league, and they put up a good game and they still find a way to lose. That's what they're doing right now. They're finding ways to lose. And like you said, they just go through these droughts offensively and they get careless. And against a team like the Rockets, I mean, here's another bright spot. John Wall, I don't know, you know, he played so well on James Harden to begin this game. Now, he switched off. Of course, you can't have Wall on Harden the entire game. You know, they threw Oubre at him. They threw Beal at him. They had, you know, I think they had Porter on him for instance. But James Harden's going to get his. You know, you can't, nobody's going to stop that. Another issue was people were wondering why, and I got a lot of questions like this on Twitter. Why isn't Andrew Nicholson playing? He didn't play at all last night. It was a coach's decision. And that's simply because I don't know if, you know, there was a certain lineup that they threw in and I loved it. It was Wall, Beal, Porter, Oubre, and Gortat. You know, I play, throw Porter at the stretch four and just let's run it. You know what I mean? I like that. I think that gives them the most versatility. But you throw Nicholson on Anderson, that's a recipe to get destroyed. I mean, you saw how Anderson was affected when a guy like Markieff Morris, who shut down Paul Millsap and, you know, Serge Ibaka the night before. So, right. you would think going into that matchup, you know, you're sitting pretty. But, you know, like I said, of course, I don't know if it's maybe Markieff not getting involved offensively and it takes away from his defensive presence. But, you know, they got to get that fixed. They got to get it fixed quickly, even though the Celtics are going to be shorthanded. They have one of the best coaches, and I stand by that with Brad Stevens, and he will make it work. They're very deep. They're very defensively oriented. This team doesn't have a lot of room to rest, Josh. Like you said, they could start the season 1-8.
Yeah. They could. And you know, to touch on a couple of the things that you just mentioned, I mean, maybe Morris is playing down to his competition, you know, right? Maybe when he's playing against, you know, like you say, fellow All-Stars, you know, people like Millsap, maybe he's playing up to the competition. He knows he has somebody, you know, that's respectable in front of him.
And real quick, I just wonder if that's just all in his preparation, because it's not as if Anderson's, you know, a scrub. I mean, you know he's going to come in and shoot, but like,
right.
If you're Morris with how big and strong he is, you know, he's shown this year he can, you know, stretch his range out to 3-point. He's been shooting average from 3-point. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but you know, he hasn't been horrible at it. But
right.
Against a guy like Anderson, you can bully him inside. So take advantage of it.
Very true. Very true. And another thing that you mentioned is how Brooks has, really changed up this rotation over and over again and only what, you know, with six games now. Unless they want to just go ahead and go on a nice little losing streak, he could continue to manipulate this lineup as much as he possibly can until he find a winning lineup. But the problem with that is that the games are continuing to come, right? It's not like it's preseason. And it's like we thought we kind of had this together during the preseason. And that's what preseason is for, right? You know, so it's like he could continue to tweak this lineup as much as he possibly can. But then, as you mentioned, you got the Celtics coming in town, you got Cleveland, you got Chicago, Philadelphia, and New York. That'd be those three games on the last part of that schedule. You know, I'll be there live. You know, here in Chicago, out in Philly, and then down in D.C. where they play the Knicks, we have that three-game coverage there. You know, if he continues to tweak this lineup and this lineup can't get it together, then you're right. You know, they could easily, you know, be down 1-8, 1-10, 1-12, you know. And so you definitely don't want to start off in that big of a deficit because it's going to definitely be hard to just get back to 500. You know, we're not even talking about making it to the playoffs. Like, that's still a long way away from now. So, you're right. I mean, when it comes to hope, I guess I use that term kind of loosely a little bit in my article that'll be coming out later on today. You know, it has a little political theme about hope and change for the Wizards. And you know, I don't know. I mean, I just it's a real funny piece, you know, by being election day and all. You know, I use some election type jargon in there and saying the Wizards are on the wrong side of history because, you know, President Obama used to say that all the time. So, it's a good little piece. Make sure you guys check that out. But, yeah, I really think that, like you just said, I don't know. I don't think that the Wizards have a formula to win. And I think as the games continue to come, Brooks is almost running out of options. And it's crazy to say it's only six games in. But it's like, you know, how do you go about this? Like, you know, you're right. It would be a it would not behoove him to put in that entire second unit at any point in the game, that, you know, you are asking to lose. So you have to some type of way stagger that lineup where you know, kind of putting, you know, a second unit player with your first unit players and kind of getting some type of production. But even then, it's not necessarily proving to be successful. Now, you did mention, and I mentioned that in my piece as well, it was one bright spot to see Kelly Oubre fouling the bottom of the net. Because when you talk about longevity, when you talk about the future of the Wizards and things of that nature, you know, there's a lot of, stock that's into Kelly Oubre. So you definitely want Kelly Oubre to be that defensive player that we know he can be. And you definitely want, you know, him to be knocking down those three-pointers as well. And those are two things that, you know, that makes him such a great player. I don't know what's going to happen with Trey Burke. We've already heard that there's no really talks between him and the Wizards of any type of extension and things of that nature. And it seems as though, you know, Thomas is kind of getting all Trey Burke minutes at this point. I don't know, man. It's not looking, I don't know. It's only six games in, so I don't want to say that it's like grim. Like, I don't want to say, hey, the Wizards might as well tank. Like, I don't want to give the audience that type of, feeling or emotion. But it's just like, you know, these games, like, how do you expect to win these games when you're giving up those type of points in such critical moments of the game? Don't get me wrong. Your opponent is going to go on runs. I mean, that's basketball, you know. But, you know, you can't expect to win these games when you're giving up 30 points in the fourth quarter. You can't expect to win these games when you're letting the opposing team knock down 17 three-point, you know, shots on you. You can't. You can't.
Well, here's another thing, because this just, you know, came to mind, and I guess I brought them a little bit short with the hope thing. I still think they have no hope, but here's a little tiny bit of hope. Mahimi still has to come back.
Very true.
Now that will help out defensively, but I mean, yeah, that's a huge problem with this team. But Mahimi isn't defending the three. Mahimi isn't expected to come in and score the ball with this bench rotation. He's expected to come in and be a defensive specialist, protect the rim, and just dominate the glass. So in terms of maybe waiting, you know, it's not like we have a guy, you know, like a Jamal Crawford coming back that can come off the bench and really feel it up, or like a Lou Williams or so like that. We don't have, you know, the Wizards don't have anything like that waiting. So an interesting point brought up, you know, I listened to the True Hoop podcast today, and they kind of touched on the Wizards, which they rarely ever do. But, you know, people are just so confused with this team. And, you know, they say for any other team, usually when you start off, say they lose the next two, you even brought up they could have, you know, they could lose the next three. That brings them, you know, to 1-8. And then they keep, you know, if they lose to Philadelphia, I don't know what's going to happen, but usually at that point, someone's losing a job. And of course, it's not going to be Scott Brooks. You're not going to fire Ernie Grunfeld in the middle of the year. So I don't know if it's maybe either they start looking in the trade market, which that's another thing. They really don't have that many assets. I mean, who are you going to throw in? The only guys who, you know, they would realistically throw in is a Gortat or, you know, maybe an Oubre to try to get someone to bite on his potential, but it's not like you're going to get anything huge off of that. So at that point, a move like that would just be you kind of tanking, just giving it up,
just
scrap this season. And I think that would do harm in more ways than one, and we can get to that in a different podcast. But, another point is, you know, maybe they have to go out in the free agent market and find somebody. Now, I was looking the other day, you know, Kevin Martin's out there. I wish he's a scorer, but I don't think he's the guy who's going to change his team. And really the next best guy is Gary Neal. And he was on this team last year and actually had a solid season, but he was battling, you know, his injuries. A lot of people questioned his shot selection. You know, he was just quick on his shot. And, you know, for me, that isn't the case with me. I thought he was a pretty productive player off the bench when he did get his chance. But there's really nobody out there for free agency either. So there's nowhere for this team to run and hide. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. What I was going to say is, you know, you kind of mentioned this in the first podcast. I mean, perhaps this team continues to go on this downward spiral and the locker room continues to just implode. Perhaps John Wall will just say, hey, you know, I want out. You know, I mean,
And that's the worst. That's the worst case scenario. And of course, you know, I know you know that, but you know that I'm not even going to bring up because that's the easy route. And I, you know, like you said, that's a whole nother podcast. I've heard, you know, people bring up possible deals to say if he would, you know, go to New Orleans, and New Orleans just threw the book at him, threw, you know, Buddy Hield, Drew Holiday, 2 first-round picks, this and that. Like, I'm still not giving Wall for that, if that's the case. Now, if Walsh is totally ticked off and wants to leave, I guess you're kind of forced to do something. But I don't know. I don't know if that will be the case or not. I mean, you would think different players would be, but he's already been through this stuff so much. I don't know whether he's kind of like a Carmelo Anthony where he just wants to be a guy who sticks by his team and is loyal. I don't think he does that for if this happens, you know, for the rest of the season. But
exactly.
I
definitely don't want the listeners to, you know, think that we have any like inside source of information or anything like that. Like, this is, we're speaking kind of in a hyperbole, so I want to definitely keep that into perspective. But, you know, from a John Wall perspective, and I have not spoken to John Wall about this, let me put that disclaimer out there, but from a John Wall perspective, I mean, look at this. If this team goes 1-8, you know, you lose the next three, you lose Boston, you lose to Cleveland, you lose against Chicago. Maybe you beat Philadelphia. Maybe you don't. Maybe you, you know, beat the Knicks. Maybe you don't. So you're looking at 1-8, possibly, you know, 1-10. Who knows? If you're John Wall, of course, you know, you're thinking at this point, like, I mean, is this what the season has come? Like, I mean, they have yet to see some of these big West Coast teams. Like, they've yet to play the Spurs, and they play them later on, if I'm not mistaken, this month or early December. They have yet to play Oklahoma City. They have yet to play some of those teams like Golden State and those up-and-coming teams like Phoenix and Minnesota. You know, they get to play those type of teams. So you add all that up. I mean, how many wins is this team really going to get if they continue on the track that they're going? So with that being said, perhaps Jan Wall says, hey, you know, I want out. And if he says he want out, maybe things can change, because this is what's going to ultimately end up happening. If Scottie Brooks, I like to call him that, if Scottie Brooks can't, you know, get this together, of course, I don't believe the Wizards are going to fire him. I don't think they're going to really, you know, make any major moves. I mean, again, this is a brand-new regime. You know, same thing with New Orleans, right, with the Pelicans, when they, you know, got rid of Monty Williams and then brought in a new coach. It's not like, you know, they were getting ready to fire everybody down there in New Orleans, right? And that's the same boat this season starting off. So you say, okay, of course the Wizards are going to give this new regime a chance to kind of grow. But if the personnel, the player personnel, if you can't get them to play the system in your system in the way that you need them to play, then, yeah, you're definitely going to have to make moves. And somebody like John Wall, it's only two options he can take. He can either take the Carmelo approach. Hey, you know, I'm just here just to be here, you know, or – you know, I'm loyal. I'll be here. I'll go through, you know, hell and high water, depending on what happens. I'm just going to wear this, you know, Wizards jersey until, you know, I hang up the shoes. Or perhaps he becomes a little more vocal. You know, there were rumors over the summer that he wasn't really excited that, you know, Bradley Beal is making, you know, max money, you know, and stuff like that. I know he's denied that, you know, on the record. You know, perhaps he could say, hey, you know, I want out. And maybe they, you know, again, you get into that speculation of what New Orleans may do or what these other teams may, you know, put up for them. But that's what I'm saying. I'm saying all of that to say for the listeners to kind of keep up is it's just like this team is not doomsday, is not the apocalypse, is not any of those things just yet. Yes, it is only 6 games in. Yes, when you read my article and I say they're on the wrong side of history, you'll be like, Joshua, you're contradicting yourself. But no, being serious, no. No, I'm not saying any of those things. But what I am saying is that it's not looking good. And it's like Brooks has tried many different things with this lineup. So the question now comes, what more can you do? And so that's where I stand on it. You know, I will definitely be watching this game against Boston. You're right. They're missing two big players. And if the Wizards give up the three-pointers that they've gave up to people like Memphis, I mean, Vince Carter, I think, was 100% from the three-point line. I don't have the stats in front of me. But, yeah, like, that's what they did in Memphis, Tennessee. They gave 17 threes to Houston. If they give those types of threes away to Boston, or if they let, you know, the Cleveland just run rampant. If they let Dwayne Wade get a career high of three pointers, like, I mean, in Chicago, like, come on, what more can you do? And it's just like, you know, they're already kind of losing faith in the second unit. You know, we are in agreement there. You would be crazy if you ever let that second unit just run the floor for 5 minutes. You would never win that game. So, I don't know. They're going to have to do something. And it's like, as you mentioned, their options are highly limited. This is not a situation where they have all these valuable pieces where they can, you know, will and deal. Like, they're going to have to do something and something fast, or this thing is going to get out of control. And that's when you'll have the implosion of the locker room. That's when you'll have people pointing the blame. That's when you'll have egos. Like, that's when you're going to have all of those things. And I don't know. I would have to really study Scott Brooks' history. But he was fortunate to have, back in his Oklahoma City days, he was fortunate to have KD, Russ, and Harold Harden at one point in time. Then he was fortunate enough to have, you know, KD and Russ. So it's like, and even then, you know, he had his challenges with personnel. So to have a losing team, because, you know, his last few years in Oklahoma City, at least they made it to the playoffs and they were one of the, you know, big teams out there in the Western Conference. To have a losing team where you're, you know, possibly looking at 1-8 or 1-10, I really don't know what recipe he can put on a drawing board to change this thing around. I would tell you this. When I was writing my prediction for the Wizards, our biggest concern, remember, was if John Wall was going to be healthy for the start of the season. And now he is, and I don't think anybody predicted them to have this type of start. So I think this is kind of baffling to not only the people that cover this team, but also the people that play for this team. So that's my stance on it.
And no doubt about it. And usually, Josh, I would say let's end on a high note. But for this particular purpose, there's not really any reason to. I mean, there's not really anything to be happy about with this team until they start running. I mean, until they start taking care of their business. Now, what can fix all this? Winning fixes everything. So, you know, we're gonna wrap this up here. Like you said, the Wizards will be back in action tomorrow night as they take on the Boston Celtics without Al Horford or Jay Crowder. Let's see if they can take advantage of, you know, them missing two of their key pieces in the rotation. And we will be back at you guys, if not Thursday, and if not Friday, we'll come at you Saturday with breakdowns from both games, takeaways from what we saw, and you know, hopefully we are not having the same conversation. Maybe the Wizards are sitting at 3-5, best case scenario, or maybe, you know, or 2-6. I think they would take even 2-6 at this point. So. For all you listeners, I want to thank you guys, as always, for listening. Be sure to follow the station on Twitter at 1340 AM Fox Sports. Please be sure to go follow Josh on Twitter at TheJoshAVinson. And give me a follow, if you will, at Colby Jacobino. And also, be sure to read Josh's piece. It is now published up on FoxSports1340AM.com. About, you know, the Wizards, as Josh said, being on the wrong side of history.
Hey, Kobe, before you go, you know what the listeners told me they wanted? They was wondering, they said, when is Josh and Kobe going to cover a game together? They was like, we would love to see Kobe and Josh at the red check mark at the Verizon Center together. We got to make that happen, man. I think next time I fly to D.C., I'm gonna come pick you up. I'm just, you know, come on.
and we do. I mean, you have a crazy schedule yourself. I do as well. Just a lot of different things going on. But, you know, I'm definitely going to make a few appearances, in the first part of the season. But because I do help coach as well. So once our season's over, come, you know, January, February, once we slow down, I will be, you know, there consistently. So stay with me, Josh. I'm gonna be there. We're gonna be there. We're gonna be podding live from the Verizon Center. You know, before or after games, we'll get it done. We will have the coverage. The people's wish will be granted. But until next time, guys, I want to thank you again for listening to the Wizards Windup. Like I said, we will be back at you guys either Thursday or Saturday. Be sure to look out for that. Read Josh's piece on the website, and I'm sure I will have something for you in the next couple of days as well after we see how the Wizards fare in these next few games. For Joshua Vincent, I am Colby Jacobino. Thank you guys as always.